Heavenly Father, we come into this place this day seeking to honor and worship you. We come, Lord, to meet you here as well. And so we pray that you would breathe the breath of your Spirit into our midst, opening our hearts, opening our minds to your scriptures and to your words that are to be proclaimed. And now, Lord, by your Spirit, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, names are an important thing. They identify who we are. They identify where we belong, where we're connected, our family that we're a part of. And from the time we're little, when we introduce ourselves to others, we're taught to use that phrase, "Hello, my name is," and to look someone in the eye and to shake their hand and let them know who we are and in turn hear who they are. Now, I really like this video by Matthew West and the image that it kind of helps us to think about there. Because particularly for children today, we hear a lot about bullying, whether it's in school or on the internet. And bullying in a lot of ways is shaping the identity of many children. Because they have voices of their peers that are seeking to define them in a way that isn't true. In a way that isn't building them up and reinforcing them. So how many kids that have been bullied go through life thinking, "I'm fat because someone told me I was. I'm stupid because someone told me I was. I'm not good enough. I'm not welcomed. I'm not accepted." And while they might not have a name tag that they go through life wearing that says those things, you can see it sometimes in their attitudes. You can see it in the way that they carry themselves with their head down and their shoulders hunched, that something has beaten them down and defeated them. And they probably have one of those name tags on them. Now, even for those of us as adults, we hear those voices. We may not hear them loud and clear from the world around us, but yet if you watch television, a lot of the marketing, a lot of the media, a lot of the commercials want to send that message to us as well. That if we don't look like this model that's on the television screen, then we might as well have a name tag that says, "Hi, my name is fat and overweight because I'm not that person. Hi, my name is poor because I don't make enough to have that house or that car." And we internalize some of that. We have those voices inside our own heads that scribble words on that name tag that define us like not good enough, not smart enough, not pretty enough. And we believe and hear those voices. But through Jesus Christ, God is wanting us to know a truth about us that the world isn't going to tell us. God is wanting us to know that we are his beloved children. And I love what they did with that, where it said, "Hi, my name is child of the one true God." That God is the one who wants to define who we are. God is the one that wants to fill in the blank on that name tag that says, "Beloved, my child, worthy of my son." And God wants to define us in that way. Now, some of you may remember in January, we went through that series titled God Is. And for those of you who weren't there, I opened it up and talked a little bit about the passage from Moses encountering God in the wilderness. And God giving Moses this commission to go and set his people in captivity in Egypt free. And Moses came up with all of his excuses, but one of them that he asked God was, "Well, if anyone asks me who sent me, what should I tell them?" And God says, "Tell them I am sent you." God said, "My name is I am." And through that series in January, we turned it and said, okay, God has said I am. We're going to say God is. And we sought to fill in some of those blanks about characteristics of God. But that name, I Am, is a powerful name. It's one that people, particularly the Jewish people, would have heard and understood. And in the Gospel of John, this morning. We heard that passage in John 14, but throughout the gospel there are 8 different times where Jesus distinctly and explicitly makes statements in response to people around him about who he was. And he begins by saying, "I am." For his Jewish audience, they would not have missed the connection with Jesus making a powerful statement of "I am" with the God of the Old Testament speaking to Moses saying, "I am." And so in John, we hear Jesus making statements like, "I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the gate, I am the good shepherd, I am the bread of heaven." And in some ways, today's statement is the most powerful. Now, Jesus would go on and explain these to some extent as far as what he meant when he said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." And he'd give a little bit of a insight as far as, okay, here's what I want you to learn and take away from this. We don't see quite as much detail in this, but yet we have Jesus making just as explicit of a statement when he says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." 3 significant things that Jesus puts forward for us. Now, this passage in John 14, is one that I use quite often in funerals. And it's appropriate in that context, particularly when you think in John 14, Jesus speaks these words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." He's speaking a message of comfort and peace to his disciples, and at the time of a loss, it's an appropriate message. And he goes on and talks about, "I go and prepare a place for you. And if it were not so, would I have said that I'm doing that?" And then he says, "You know the way to where I'm going." And this is where we get into the disciples then questioning him. Thomas, the one who would later after the resurrection say, "Hey, I'm not going to believe until I see the marks of the nails in his hands and the spear wound in his side." Thomas is the one that says, "Jesus, how do we know the way? How do we know the way to where you're talking, going and what you're talking about?" Now, a practical question, but one that's quite off the mark, missing the point. Thomas is thinking, "Well, draw a map for us. Make it easy. Tell us where we need to go to connect the dots to get to where you're going." And Jesus says, "I'm not talking about a program. I'm not talking about a method of if you do this and then do this and then do this, you will arrive at where I'm going." Jesus says, "No, it's not about knowing and having the right steps. It's about a relationship." Jesus says, "I'm not teaching you a way. I'm not showing you a way. I am that way. So you need to be in a relationship with me." What's more, Jesus goes on and says, "I am the truth." Jesus doesn't say, "I am a truth. I am one of many truths. I am the truth." It was interesting this week. I had the opportunity to be at the IU East commencement on Friday evening. And President McRobbie from IU gave the commencement address. And one of the things that he spoke about was truth. And that there is absolute truth. Now, I don't know much about him. I don't know what perspective he's coming from academically, politically, religiously. But he made a very definitive statement. There is absolute truth. And as I listened, I was reminded of this passage of this morning. Because for me, yes, there are absolute truths. And particularly, there's Jesus, who says, "I am the truth. I am the truth of God's love revealed in your midst. I am the truth of God's love revealed in the flesh in this world." We talk about Jesus being incarnate, God with us. And Jesus wasn't just a he wasn't just an example or a person to teach us about truth. God sent him and said, My son is the truth that you are looking for. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life." Now, Jesus taught us a lot of good and wonderful things. Things that we should cherish. Things that we should embrace. Things that should inform and shape us in the lives that we live. But it all comes back to Jesus. A addressing his disciples and saying, "Hi, my name is Way, Truth, and Life. You want to be my friend?" You see, Jesus is talking about the importance of being in a relationship with him. He talks about that place that he's gone to prepare. He's talked about that if you want to see the Father, look at me. Look at me. If you know me. And some scholars would say that the way that Jesus is addressing his disciples here, it's almost like a rhetorical question. Like Jesus said to them, "If you know me, and you do, then you know the Father." That Jesus is the fullest and finest and most complete revelation of God's love and mercy and grace and salvation that he's offering to this world. And so it's not that we need to work harder to be like Jesus, to act and talk like him and to do the things he did. Those are important and good. Part of our job as a disciple is to follow his lead. But more than that, the most important thing is to be in a relationship with him. To know that the one who has come and introduced himself to us and said, "Hi, my name is the Way, the Truth, and the Life," is the one who wants us to forget about all of those other things the world might try and put on our name tags and allow us to be defined by him. To allow our lives to be defined by the one that we are in a relationship with, Jesus Christ, God's Son. Because that changes our lives and it changes the world. It gives us an identity that is greater than any other identity. So rather than listening to the voices around us, the voices of the world that can and will beat us down, and even those internal voices, those voices in our head that are telling us lies about ourselves, we are loved, we are valued, we are precious in God's sight. And the one who calls himself the Way, the Truth, and the Life is inviting us into a relationship where we can be God's children, where we can be the people that God created us to be. And through us, God will continue to do great things. This passage goes on and tells us about the things that Jesus says will happen. He says, "I tell you, the one who believes in me will do the work that I am doing, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. I'll do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." It's a pretty powerful promise that Jesus gives. It's a powerful promise that Jesus gives to the people who are willing to wear that name, "I am a child of the one true God." Because together we can do significant, profound, world-changing things. Jesus said, "You'll do greater things than I have. And when we consider the things that Jesus did, the healing of the sick, the feeding of the multitudes, the curing of blindness and leprosy, we think, how in the world are we going to do those things? Jesus doesn't say we're going to do them in the same way that he did. But together, the community of Christians in this world have made huge strides in bringing malaria to a significantly lower level than it once had been in Africa. Malaria deaths cut in half over the last 10 years. We see poverty being addressed in ways that are making a difference, even though we still see it in places around us. We see water, clean, safe water, being brought to places, to cities, to nations that never had it. We see people pooling their resources to improve the lives of others. And the work of God's people. The work of those who put their trust in Jesus Christ, it stretches around this globe. And we're called to participate and be a part of that. Jesus says, "You'll do greater things than I have. And anything you ask in my name, I'll do." We ask in the name of Jesus. We ask in accordance with his will. So if we ask God to give us the ability to love beyond ourselves in the way that he did, he'll make it happen. If we ask God to help us to recognize and see where we can best use our gifts to bring health and wholeness and healing to other people, he'll do it. Because that's where his heart is. Now, if we ask Jesus for the winning Powerball ticket, probably not going to happen. Because that's not where his heart was. His heart was on those around him. His heart was on you and I, that we might recognize who we are, God's children. So may we, in response to the one who sticks out his hand and says, "Hi, my name is the way, the truth, and the life," may we reach out and embrace him and allow him to define us and to guide us and lead us in the paths that God has placed before us so that he gets the glory and we get to witness and participate in his great works. Amen.
Amen.